ました。エリシャガンチ。
Hi, I'm Neil, and welcome to the Crosscast. This show is a special post-National Champs edition. Most of the show is actually a recording of the audio from the Facebook Live Crosscast TV from Sunday evening at the National Champs in Gravesend. I'm joined by Bruce Staunton and Matt Payne, and we welcome a whole host of guests, including Anna Kay and Tom Pidcock and Hattie Harnden, Alex Forrester and Hugh Williams. The video is still up on Facebook at the Crosscast, so please go there and have a look if you want to see our faces and those of the elite winner. There are three other videos there too. There are two parts from Friday and one from Saturday, and we chatted to Helen Wyman, Helen Patterson. We chatted to Millie Cousins, Zoe Backstead, Nick Craig, Finley Pickering and Libby Bell. Now, the next full show is actually going to be out next week. But before then, we've got the World Cup at Pontchâteau in France, which will have a more select set of riders than we tend to get in Belgium mid-season for the World Cups. So some of the races are actually much wider open than usual. Pontchâteau can be fast and flat. I always remember it from the European Championships in 2016 for two reasons, very, very different ones. The first one being Tounets. I think that was when we first saw the potential of him. He went with a few laps to go and everybody else just looked at each other, waiting for someone else to chase. And off he went, and that was when he won the European Championships. At that time, it looked like, is this really a worthy winner for the European Championships? And in hindsight, absolutely, there's no surprises there now, especially as last weekend he went on to win the Belgian National Champs jersey just ahead of Wout van Aert. They are both going to be there. Bit of a grudge match here, I think. Going to be fascinating to see how that one unfolds. The other reason I remember it from 2016 was that terrible crash for Nicky Bramier and Helen Wyman, which happened just in the first few hundred metres. Both of them ended up being really quite seriously hurt, and both were out of racing for some time. Helen Wyman, she didn't even make it back to the National Champs up in Bradford that year. Both of them had some form of concussion. Let's hope they get a bit further this time compared to last time. And at the front of that race, it was Talita de Jong. Now, Talita, she has also hardly been on the scene since. We've not even seen her since last year's World Champs. She suffered with some illness, suffered with some injury. Been riding for the Chevalmers team, and she's been on a mission to get her form back. Remember, Talita was world champion at one point. She's on a mission to get her form back. I don't think we'll see her this year. However, I desperately hope we'll see her next year to join those mega elite women we're seeing at the moment. We'll bring you all the news about Pontchâteau next time. Now, let's get back to Cycler Park. Here's the audio that we recorded on Sunday, and we'll see you on the other side of the tape. Bye.
And going live in 3, 2, 1... Hi, I'm Neil, and welcome to the Crosscast Live. This is day 3 of the National Champs. It's been mega. One of my favourite words at the moment. It's been absolutely mega. So many cracking races today. The wind out there has been amazing, and it's meant as you went down one side of the course, it was behind you. The other side of the course, it was ahead of you. As soon as everything split up, the gaps tended to stay today. There's been some cracking winners all the way through the day. And in some ways, you know, it sounds like what you'd expect with Hattie Harnden, with Ben Tulett, with Nicky Bramier, and with Tom Pidcock. But in other ways, it was so much more interesting than it could sound. Of course, you can go back and you can see some of this stuff on the British Cycling website through that live stream. There are some riders who I thought were great today that if we get a chance, I'd like to mention. But first of all, I've got a question for Matt and a question for Bruce. Do you know what I've got in my pocket?
I don't want to know.
Do you know what this is?
I don't want to know what... Oh, I know exactly what that is, and I know
it's
a number of people
keeper
that need them, yeah.
Chain catcher. Why am I having a chain catch in my pocket?
It might be because you've actually got it to give to a number of people, I think, on the way through. We were talking in the crosscast earlier.
Was it drop chains that affected people during
the day? It was. There was a number as well, and it wasn't just one person. It wasn't just the same point. Like we were seeing earlier on in the season, if you go back download the crosscast podcast, we're talking about some races where we've seen the world's best drop at the same point on a course. Not this time around. It was all over the course in plenty of places, and I'm going to leave the crusade for two chain rings and a front mech on all bikes to be mandatory, so we have straight racing. Nobody is allowed a single ring. Nobody is allowed not to put two rings and a front mech on. I'm going to leave that crusade. Helen can have her 100. I'm going to have the double ring mech. That's what
Helen gets 100. You get two.
That's about right, isn't it? Really, let's face it.
I clearly wasn't going fast enough then, because my chain stayed fully in contact with my chain rings all the way through the course.
We didn't want to save the race. You were looking good all the way round, and you set off well. Let's talk about how your ride went later, maybe.
I think that's let's get some more interesting people in here. They're in the background. And
shall we get people who have to get facilities? Oh, sorry, mate, I didn't say that.
It's a cruel blow. Isn't it?
That's not good. That's not good.
Let's get some stripy jumpers on, shall we?
Well, we need someone to sit on the stripy cushion for sure.
We do need someone to sit on the stripy cushion, and I can see a stripy jersey's just diving into the pits right now. So, Hattie Harnden.
Yay!
Coming.
Welcome to the Crosscast,
Hattie. It's brilliant to have you with us, and congratulations for today. It looked like a tough one.
It was. It was a bit of a shock so early in the morning. But
I was going to say, it must be quite a long day for you now, because, I mean, I watched, you know, some of your race from my hotel room. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, that's not nice, but yeah, it was early, wasn't it, Hattie? And yet, a massive field and some really close riding, and it's got to be a shock to the system going off with that lot first thing in the morning. Is there anything you can prepare for that? Any way of trying to get used to that, or is it just a case of just do the normal training at the normal time? Or you get up extra early when you know you've got a championship race?
Well, if there is a special way, I haven't found it yet. just carry on as normal, yeah.
Obviously, it went as good as it could today, really.
Yeah, it was nice to get it over with, I guess. Then could watch all the others and, see everyone else have a bit of suffering as the day went on. But it was a good race. It was a close one.
It was close, wasn't it?
It was. Is there anywhere on the course that you felt you had an advantage?
I think it was more if you came into the sections first, you had an advantage. Like, I don't think... little places I could get gaps, like on the really steep climb into the off-camber bit, onto the finish straight. But I think if Anna had been in front, then she probably would have got a bit of advantage on me. So I think it's maybe if you're in front, like just positioning seemed quite important in this course.
Yeah, and I think where you were getting the gain there was actually on the camber and coming off it. I think you were pretty well matched going up. I think it was that drop in that was a key, which is, I think, matches to your mountain bike background as well.
Yeah.
It's more than massive, isn't it? It's more than massive, finding the ruts, going down.
Yeah, definitely. We had Tracy here today, didn't she? Was on site, wasn't she? She was helping you out on the way around. Does she help you combat the Anna Flynn sniper 1,000 yards stare? Because when you look back at Anna, she doesn't give much away, does she?
No, it's quite scary having Anna behind you. Like silent but deadly, like always there, and she'll be with you to the end. So I think it's a great race, but I don't know. She's gonna have a lot to come, I think, being a younger one as well.
Yeah, definitely. She seemed to be there and buzzing. So was there any point you thought, oh no, this it could all be over?
No, I think because of how the course was, like I didn't think it was gonna string out too much, and I think. I think it was a course where you could play the long game and you could wait and you could, pick your moment later on, or like Tom, just go for it quite early on, you know?
That's what I was aiming for. I was thinking I'll pick my moment later on about 50 minutes, and unfortunately I never got there. never mind.
Yeah, don't worry, Bruce. It's always another year. Who knows? So on from here, where are you heading? World's... Gotta be on the cards. Do you know if you've made it yet? Can you let us in on secrecy? Sworn to secrecy?
No, I don't know.
You don't know? Well, the selection's after this, of course, isn't it? So we're going to have all of these people
Tuesday
coming on.
The day.
So Tuesday, I'll just be on my phone the whole time, waiting to find out. But
do you get a phone call? Or is it an email? Or is it, you know, is it done by text syndrome? Are you going to get a text?
I've not selected for Worlds, but I believe it's an email and a phone call.
I think it's an email.
You should know, you've been already, can't you remember?
I can't remember, it seems like a long time ago now, yeah. But yeah.
Old pair of hands here at this hattie, haven't you?
Yeah.
Stripy jumpers, they keep coming. It's only a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. And
it's quite a nice stripy jumper.
Yeah, gotta be pleased with that. And a gold medal as well. Don't know if you're at the Worlds, so maybe can't plan what you're going to do until Tuesday then, in terms of training and riding.
Well, hopefully, or maybe go as if I am, because fingers are crossed. I mean, went last year, so hopefully I'll go again this year. But after that though, that's it. It's the last one, Worlds, and then done for the season. So
have a rest before mountain biking.
Yeah, it's come to an end quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a good season.
Yeah, it's been a good season. It's been great to watch, and I think we'd all agree that the junior women's racing,
I have to say,
is absolutely astounding.
Coming here, when I did, rocking up towards on the last lap of your race, when I did, I was amazed to see how many people were out there cheering at so early in the morning. And like in my race, it's absolutely deafening. It was the best sort of support on course I've ever seen at a national champs in my memory. So yeah, it's fantastic to see them coming here all day long. So that's really good. Yeah,
it was great. Coming over the finish, like all the people on the barriers, it's quite a Belgium thing to do, but yeah, they're getting the hang of it over here too.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we just need to do a lot more races, a lot more practice maybe. Yeah. And I think with the way it's going, it's good. So are you heading back up tonight, or are you stopping down and partying in the hotel to the early hours? What's your plan?
No, I've got school tomorrow, so back home tonight.
This is the reality of junior racing. It's, you know, we've all got to go back, and people have got jobs, and people have got school and college. And
yeah,
okay.
For sure.
For sure. Good stuff. Well done. I think we'd better let you get off and do some
recovery.
Thanks
very much, Hattie.
And thank you very
much,
Hattie.
Thank you for having
Hattie,
me.
Yeah. Travel safely.
Thank you.
See you later.
Have a social journey. Good stuff.
So really great to have Hattie with us, someone we've seen so many times on so many great stages, from Lohenhout being on the podium there right the way through to Worlds, and what a great future, what a great track record already. Someone else that we've had with us waiting to come into the pits is Anna Kay. Anna, come and join us.
Hey,
fabulous ride today.
The grin is seated side to side.
It's kind of, we were sat in the hotel, in the same hotel as Anna last night. We were sat there, Anna had her feet up, she was recovering, you know, you could see it was all being, you know, really healthy. The boys from the northeast were necking down the pikes, and I was sat there with my ice cream trying to keep my throat working properly. And we had a little chat. You seemed really relaxed last night.
Yeah. Sorry.
Did that translate into this morning? Were the nerves coming in, or?
No, I just try to treat it as another race, it is just another race in the calendar, so try not to put pressure on it.
Yeah.
Do you think your, pre-riding yesterday, like, well, we were riding around together and you were going really well, I was thinking she's nailing these lines here, it's really fast. Do you think, you know, there was a point in the course where you thought, right, this is going to be my time to go for it, or, you know, well, you're holding back, just surfing on wheels in that first initial bit?
Yeah, I thought about it, but I just tried to ride the flow and just try to make my way around and, like, pick apart the nice bits of the course. I just couldn't wipe the smile off my face riding around. It was like a roller coaster.
Yeah, yeah. It played really well, didn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah. And then, of course, you're first under 23 over the line today, and you're having such a cracking head-to-head race.
Yeah.
Shoulder to shoulder and elbow to elbow, it looked a few times between you and Nikki Brownmere, who went on to win the race overall. But then you had that little mechanical that dropped you away from Nikki, and you know, racing, and Nikki was gone.
Yeah.
I think she was ready to go there anyway. So in some ways, that was denied us a real tight race. How were you feeling at that point?
I was feeling pretty good. I thought I knew where I could go. I knew where her strong points were and her weak points were. And it was gutting to have my change round and then have to run to the pits, but I'm still pleased with how it went. I tried to not let it bother us and just compose myself.
I'll tell you what, if anyone wants to know the fastest way to ride a bike with no drivetrain, they should go back and watch that video. Several times I thought, oh, you've got it going again. But
no,
there are other people, running in later races and similar things happen to them. And they should have watched you.
I didn't want to stop. I just thought, I'm just going to run, and rather than having someone catch us, I'm just going to go.
Did you, when you went into the pit, frustrated with the bike?
Yeah.
Were you gentle? Tell us truthfully. Come on,
fluffy.
Were you gentle, or did you just hurl the bike in frustration?
I didn't throw it, but I think maybe I was like.
A pit crew rolling eyes in background.
I think the pit crew might have something different, a different story there, maybe on the way through. It's got to be frustrating when you put it behind you and kept on coming through. And it was great to see about it, but you had behind you Helen Wyman.
Yeah.
You know, Helen was on the show yesterday talking about the new generation of riders coming through, obviously with the Helen 100. Did that spur you on when you saw Helen there? You thought, oh, I can't let her have me.
I kind of tried not to look behind and just try to look forward. And when she got in front of us, I thought, I can maybe take her on a turn and then just don't even look and just go, and I've tried to do that. So
I think guests can take some confidence from that sort of experience of riding with such an experienced and stripy rider, as it were. So, you know, just having that ability to go and then take that with you is obviously a really strong thing to go from.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was really good to watch. And of course, our under 23 national champion, fastest of the young'uns in the senior field, because obviously once you move up, stuff, and go on, tell the viewers, how old are you?
19.
Nikki, I think, is 33 and Helen's 38. So I can double 19. I'm not going to say how many that is. But that tells you just how big the age difference is. But you're not alone, are you? There's plenty of riders starting to come on behind. What would you say to them? If a rider comes along now, they want to be where you are. How would you do it?
Just don't be scared. Just go for it.
I guess the big thing for you this year, I mean, obviously watching from a distance, is that move to Belgium and going out and being able to do that regularly. And I noticed your technique has come on just from the start of the season, round corners. You're a lot stronger around corners than you were, you know, 4 months ago. And that per race makes such a difference. And obviously carrying that speed that you're able to do.
Having them riders like from Belgium to like even look at and copy, like, and just take their technique and bring it back here, it brings my confidence on and my experience, so it helps.
Well, thank you for coming on. It's been great to have you here, and well done.
Good stuff. I can see somebody else we ought to really bring on. I think we might have to hang on to Anna for a little bit longer. I know Anna has the advantage of not having to drive home tonight. Just making his way in. I think he's literally just finishing his tea on his way in. It's Tom Pickock. Welcome, Tom. Well, do you know what? Let's give him a straight.
You can share the cushion.
Good to see you, Tom. Thanks for coming down. You're looking pretty relaxed, mate.
Oh, yeah. Why shouldn't I be?
You know, you've just been doing kind of a little reasonably major race, you know, you're just clearly not wide on it anymore, just not going on. Is the usual post-race Tom Pickup?
Well, yeah, I mean, got to relax. I've got to go to the airport and sit in a hotel room by myself, so I can't be like buzzing and,
you know, so you've got to bring
this
out.
Is a reality.
It's a reality
after doing it. Everyone's gone home, aren't they? So
there's
just another bike race, I guess, like you were saying. You know, it's just going from that and then back to Belgium. Tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, so hotel room on your own. So we just had Hattie Harden on. I'm going back up tomorrow. I'm going back to school tomorrow.
Yeah, but it wasn't long since you were though, and you know yourself. It's like, you know, let's put this into context. A lot of these strappy jumpers are people who've just recently come from school.
If you only finished school. It's 2 years ago, but you know.
Is that when you really finished school, or when you told them you finished school? Because knowing you, you'd have been out on your bike when you were meant to be doing physics or chemistry or something.
No, I didn't pick physics or chemistry because I wouldn't be able to miss some lessons, would I?
Careful planning, obviously. Careful planning. So you avoided those, like, on the way through school?
I did PE because I'm doing that when I'm not at school, so.
Yeah, so what did you do in PE lessons? Did you go training or did you just sit at home and watch telly or something?
No, to be fair, I did go to most of the lessons, but apart from when I was at races.
I think you've got the ability now to maybe look back and say, well, maybe some of that might have been worth it.
Yeah.
Like, it's gone somewhere, hasn't it? It's the main thing. From a personal perspective, I've got a bone to pick with you because obviously you took me out of the race, Tom, so it's pretty boring for you.
Sorry.
It's all right, don't worry. You were rolling really, really well, obviously. Do you take quite a lot of confidence from the bigger races you've been doing recently and obviously surfing on the wheels of guys like Aerts and, you know, Van der Poel as well? So.
Yeah, I mean, of course it's a national race and I've now got an elite national jersey, so yeah, of course it gives me confidence. And yeah, I mean, the whole podium was under 23s, so, you know, it wasn't against the best elite riders in the world. You know, Ian Field is a good rider, but I think now the younger riders are taking over.
Yeah, I guess both of you have come from, like, let's look back at the last races you've done over on the continent, both been right up there in the top 10s in all the races and keeping those wheels. That experience that you get following the best riders in the world, and yourselves included, makes a massive difference, and you apply it to a course like today, which was very technically challenging in the sense that at race pace, you know, do you think that that's the best training you can be doing, is riding those races or, you know, staring at your stem? Because there's a lot of younger riders who I didn't know were speaking to today, they're thinking, oh, what training do I need to be doing for stuff like that? You know?
Yeah, I think following riders are better than you were. You can't, it's not nothing better to, no one better to learn from. So, yeah, of course, I mean, if you want to improve, you can't, you've got to race people who are better than you.
Yeah, I was going to say, the other thing I noticed, obviously on the first lap, you were ferocious off the start, from a distance. I know, obviously, I could see that behind me, you know, looking off, going there.
Yeah.
But
it's such a long start straight.
It's ridiculous, wasn't it? It's incredible.
It was good. Like it was great for us. We watched everybody, whether it was the women's or the men's race, going up there, and it was just a charge, and we were just watching it. And I think I probably kind of held my breath on the way through despite talking on it, which is quite a neat trick to be able to do, and kind of watching through fingers as well, because it did narrow in those chicanes, didn't it, on the far side.
Yeah.
And I think it was really critical to be up there, and I think it showed that the guys here who've been racing abroad have those skills, and they knew, no, get there, get on the front, let everybody else deal with it. And we saw it in both races, there were definitely incidents.
Yeah, both of you were right on the front on those first few corners, and to be honest, you know, I struggled to, even though I was way further back, obviously I struggled to make my way up because the corners, you couldn't only really come past people on straights, there weren't that many straights.
Yeah,
you know.
There wasn't, and there was a lot of people struggling with the pace, and when we talk about the 80% rule, there were at least, I think it's 10% of the riders in the men's field finished the race.
Yeah.
Out of 102, I think there were 11 finishers, and the last person not to get eliminated was Grant Ferguson, the defending champion in your race. That is how fast it was. Yes. I think, Bruce, I don't even want to know what lap you went out on.
I was pulled at 42 minutes, which is the same as I would normally get pulled in Belgium in like a big race. So, and I kind of expected it, to be honest, because you know, if you think about the Van der Poels, exactly the same speed really most of the races. I mean, today the 80% was 80% of the field was pulled, not 80% of the speed of the leaders.
Yeah, definitely. But it does affect the race, doesn't it? I mean, you two have been coming round, and I think both of you lapped riders in the race. Does it affect your race? Yours certainly look close. Adam, what about yours? Does it affect you when you come in up from riders?
Not really. They usually just move out of the way, so it was all right. There was a few, but they get pulled anyway, so.
Tom, yeah, I saw when you were coming in towards the finish.
There was one point where I had to stop at the top of the hill. But they're generally, you know.
Move out the way.
Yeah.
And I guess the goals now, it's got to be the stripy jerseys with the real big stripes on now.
Yeah. The proper stripes.
The big ones.
So, today, Tom, you were riding with Ben Turner. Of course, you shared a world podium with him in the past.
Yeah.
Until he had his mechanical.
Yeah.
Were you aware that happened?
No, I wasn't actually. I wondered what happened because I attacked and then I made a mistake on the off camber and sort of unclipped my foot. And so I rode like steady up, finished straight, and then sort of went again into the stairs. And Yeah, and then after that, I looked behind, Thomas Mayne was just off my wheel, and then I couldn't even see him, so I was like, and I didn't hear anything, I didn't hear you on the tannoy or anything, so I didn't, no idea what had happened.
Well, did you have earplugs in? I think everybody could hear me today when
we're it might have happened when we were going around that corner with the people playing the loud music and banging the frames.
Yeah, it was. Where he went was actually on that section by the Bellow Bounce 10.
Okay.
So coming in, and he was literally in the bowl down there, so he went down and I don't give the racing away. So if something happens, if I'm telling you it, generally I've made sure that you've tried to see it first rather than me give the racing tactics away, because obviously I don't want to tell you what's happening in the race and vice versa, because it gives an unfair advantage to somebody if they're looking. But however, you look round and then once you did notice he wasn't there, kind of there was like all of a sudden somebody has told you there was a fiver at the other end of the course for you. It was like, yeah, I'll just get some quick trading in for the Worlds, I'm done. But once you went then, are you thinking about the Worlds when you're coming into the end of the race? Because, you know, unlike Anna, who was still fighting for position at that point, you were clear by a reasonable margin. You know, I think you came over the finishing line and Ben was coming in towards the pit area. Are you thinking about the Worlds? Are you thinking about backing off, or is it still, let's go with it?
I just wanted to test myself a bit and just see what I could do. Yeah, I wasn't too fresh at the end of the new year, so yeah, my lap times were consistent today and I wasn't really timing at the finish, so yeah, it's a good test.
In terms of atmosphere, I mean, like, I was pretty impressed by how many people were out on course. How did it feel compared to the bigger race you've been doing recently? Because obviously both of you have been doing things like Deegan and all those ones. You know.
Yeah.
It's pretty big, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was good, yeah, for England. It wasn't as good as Bradford.
No. Now, as good as Yorkshire.
Obviously, not
East.
Yeah. No, it's good, and it's good that the British races have been supported so well. And yeah, it's always nice to come race at home in front of a home crowd.
Yeah, good stuff, really good. So, and interesting to see. We've all done our predictions and we sort of kind of got there. Well, our next set of predictions we'll end up making are those for the world champs, which is quite a scary thought for us. We don't have to run, we just have to guess it or estimate or work out or use our knowledge and immense skill that we don't have in working it out. You guys got to ride them. So going to the Worlds, you're potentially going to be in contention for that jersey. Are you thinking about the training now? Are you thinking about that, or is it just same process every time? Take your pick. Come on, Anna. What do you think? Well, are you going to go? Do you think you're going to get selected?
I hope so. Yeah.
I was surprised when I told her it was 20 days to go, a minute before we start recording.
Have you been blinded from your mind?
It's like 20.
Don't be too sure. But yeah, same process. Again, it's just another race, isn't it? It's an important one, but you can't let that bother you.
Another fast course, very similar to actually today in terms of like really fast, long, you know, one really long section to really dig deep into, fast start. Yeah. Pretty similar to Worlds, so I'd say it's...
Did you ride up against the last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Anna, you didn't, did you? Yeah. So what tips would you give Anna for how to get the most out of that course?
Well, last year there was a lot, we were running down the bank because it was so muddy. I think they've taken it out this year, but yeah, I think it's just like today, you know, fast and just ride fast.
It's the inside line
there. Can always
Well, I was going to say thank you very much for joining us here today.
Excuse me, you can't stop yet. No. There has been a side bet going.
Has there?
Yeah, it's been a side bet going. It's not a side bet.
Is this a side bet that involves the colour of people's legs?
It does actually, yeah. because my cyclist tan still exists just about for when I rode a bike. It has, you know, it's not because I haven't had a belt. However, I'm not sure whether Tom will take on the bet as well here. There is a bet going in amongst the circles who has got the best tan. Whether it is Anna or Bruce who have the best tan.
Oh no, wow.
So we might have to have a tan
of a competition.
we've had some very serious competition.
But Tom's the one who's been to Spain most recently, so technically, he's wrapped up
only 3 days.
Come on, yeah, he's not.
I did get tan lines a little bit.
Though. Oh, I've got. I don't think I've got tan lines still from summertime.
Right,
you know?
Come on, let's have. Hang on, the
slip. I don't know. You won't be able to see it here. That's not going to work. Anna's got leggings on. It's going to be difficult for her to get her legs out.
Let's go roll it up.
Yeah, come on then.
Come on, different colour.
Come on then. Stop. This is where you get to see who has.
She's definitely got brown legs.
Up on the table. Come on. On the table.
And come on, for comparison.
Milk bottle there, Tom.
I clearly need paler legs then to move to
the
winner.
Is that what the difference is? So I think the clear winner of the turn off there is Anna. Bruce, sorry.
You can take some confidence into the bigger races coming up, think. Yeah.
Definitely.
Well,
thank you very much, guys.
Yeah,
thanks for coming on the podcast, and thanks for coming on the show earlier in this season and last season. We hope to hear from you soon, and really best of luck.
And I've got something to reveal on the crosscast as well.
Right.
I'm coming to the world to watch you, and I'll interview you after the races. So I will. We'll do a roundup after this.
No, of getting on the fake tan. Just
no getting on the fake tan. No, I won't do that.
Yeah, I think we better let our two superstars head off whilst we do our little bit of a wrap up of the crosscast. Thank you very much. Yeah. Cheers.
Well done.
Thank
you. Later.
So before we came to this weekend, we gave some predictions, and I reckon that some of my predictions, if we'd have paused the race at the right moment, I'd have been right for many of them.
Yeah.
Aubrey Baker was way up there, Fionn James was well up there today, who else was going well? Then there were other people that were way up there, and then they dropped back from Mechanicals, George Thompson.
Yeah,
compared to
Anna and George, I think had the worst timed mechanicals of the race.
What about Ben Turner? How can Ben Turner?
Oh, of course, Ben Turner.
Yeah, that was terrible. And I think overall in racing, I think if all of us had a chance to press the pause button on the world and stop the world, it really would have made a difference to how those predictions run. I don't think we've done the totals on scores, thank goodness.
We'll just have to wrap that up at another time.
I think the next show, I think we're going to see whether Bruce loses the turnoff, gets 80%ed and loses the predictions, or whether he does salvage something from the weekend other than having some of the stylish riding around the course for sure.
Alex, we'd love you to come and give us some final thoughts, and Hugh, you want to come and join us as well. Just as we wrap up for our last few minutes today, I'll give you a bit of a heads up for this. First of all, before we get into this, Hugh, great job.
Thanks, guys.
I've not heard anyone say anything negative about it.
Yeah, not to your face.
Not to your face. It's been a brilliant weekend. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and we've seen some really good racing, challenging right across the board, even though we didn't get the mud, the ice that perhaps we could have done at this time of year. So that's been great. But what I wondered is, you know, what's been your best moment of the weekend for you and then for
Alex? I think the overall thing that I'll take away from this most of all is, I think particularly in the race which finished the weekend, we've seen the culmination of what got hinted at when the junior boys did the 1-2-3 in the Charlie Craig World Championships, as they call them.
Yeah.
You've seen that kind of natural progression. Now, I think we've witnessed the new world order of UK British cyclocross in that last race. To get 323 guys on the podium is just absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Almost in the winnings. It's a shame about Anna's chain, obviously, but the hint was still there that, you know, this for me was the championships where that's what I would take away from it. Things are going to change massively from here on in.
Brilliant.
And I think in the best possible way.
Yeah. And Alex, you rode again today. How did you feel?
Yeah, I suggest riding the day before.
You go really well, mate.
It was
you beat me.
Yeah, it was a course that took a little bit of time to get used to. I think there'll be. I think some people would say it wasn't a typical cross course, but I think in cross you've got the kind of slow technical that it's really muddy, will I stay on my bike, can I get through that, and then you've got the fast technical, which is, you know, any slight corner is going to be technical if you hit it as fast as you can.
It's coming at you all the time on this course,
and you're almost falling off all over the place. You know, I think so with the women's race, you know, Helen Wyman's your sort of muddy race person, and
that doesn't mean that today's winner isn't as worthy, that today's winners aren't as worthy, because this is a very fast technical course. I prefer the muddy courses, but it's kind of sour grapes if you start saying, oh, this wasn't a proper cross course because it wasn't muddy and so on. I think it was a great day. I mean, a little bit atypical, you know, let's go to Bradford next year, I like that. I'd reflect the same thoughts that we're really seeing some new talent coming through. This is the first year for a long time. It's not, will it be Helen or Nikki wins? Mm-hmm. And we went further with the men's that we weren't expecting Ian Field to win. We weren't expecting him to be on the podium, and it turned out that way. And looking further back down, I saw the under-16s start. And I said to whoever was sitting next to me, the Belgians aren't going to know what's hit them in a few years. That's just incredible. There's a lot of people who didn't get into that race who are coming through as well. It's just the depth of talent is amazing.
A qualification for entry into the national championships. Yeah. I think that reflects so well, not just on the riders, but also onto the clubs and onto all the people who make it happen. Because remember, these kids, so they rely on their parents, they rely on the families, rely on the teams to bring them round. So for every rider, you've two or three people in the background making that happen. Yeah, and that's a huge groundswell of people, and something we'd have only dreamt of 10, 15 years ago. Mm. We put them onto a racing course, and I thought it was a racing course. I was far too much crossover the last season, I think. And I thought it was a really good course to get people to race on. It made people think about where the selection is, where that final moment is.
It wasn't just a time trial. And too many UK cross races become a time trial by the definition of like a long, sloggy, muddy course, you know? Yeah. And to compete with the best racers in the world, we need to have courses that challenge people to think, do I actually want to go really hard along the whole straight? Because actually, I need to keep my wits about me to keep going fast through the corners.
And at this moment, I think I need to change my attire from my MI Racing Academy hat back to Tom and Main. So Tom Main had such a great race today, finishing on the podium. And what a classy rider. You know, I think if you look at that, we've got those first three who all finished ahead of Ian Field, who's been a legend in the sport in the UK for such a long time. And Thomas Main, we're hardly even spoken about today. So it shows you the quality which has been
heckled by riders from the northeast and generally from the north for not mentioning him. So I apologise, Tom. I apologise to the whole of anywhere north of Yorkshire. And I'm astounding.
He's got the coolest kit as well. Some blonde.
I'm going to say, as a branding person, maybe not the coolest.
No, he has. This is my point. I said this on my advice to people who are just starting out in cycling is you want to wear your club kit, your local club kit, that's all you can do. And then if you wear, your turn up in your Team Sky kit or something like that, that shows that you don't really know what you're doing. I said, but that you can wear a totally obscure Continental kit that's got sponsors on there that you've never seen before, where the design comes out of the 1980s, and that is actually chic nowadays. And I actually picked out the Tartaletto kit as the coolest kit you could wear. And then Tom signed for them, and it's clearly just a stylistic decision.
Definitely. He's absolutely done it. And I tell you something, he's very flattering. He looks to have changed shape from being this sort of slightly chunky kid from the northeast who came out on road cross and thought, I can do this wearing that Derwent signed kit he went over in. He then transferred to Hope, just moving up, and now he looks the part. I actually think his body shape's changed. He's looking leaner, he's looking meaner. And I thought, realistically, of all the riders, I thought he was the most improved, probably in that men's field. We know Pidders has got the class, we know Turner has, and I think, realistically,
he's
probably
further back and
he's
gone
further back and moved up. I also think the other rider, two riders who actually put in a great ride, Paul Oldham.
Yeah.
What on earth Paul's done in the run-up to this weekend? I want some of it. It's absolutely amazing.
That's
because
training, probably getting
that
to training, work and training.
that'd be the one. Training was immense. And class, the managed class on legs. Yeah. His riding was smooth. Yeah, he accelerated through. But also, Nick Craig made it on the same lap as the winner. Yeah. This man moves to the 50-plus next year. He's a 50-plus rider. He made that cutoff. He was one of the last riders not to be eliminated.
I was walking past 100 and whatever it was riders in that race there. 11 or 12, I think it was. Yep. It didn't get pulled. And
I was
one of those.
I was walking back up to the finish, and just as we wrap up, just a few things to note from that. Well, we spoke about all the categories, which have all been amazing races, actually, all of them, without exception. I've enjoyed every single one of them. But in that elite men's race, if you look at that top 11, and you've got so many eras of fabulous, inspiring legends amongst that. You've got people, Monday, he came over the line, was it sixth, I think? And he was actually the second senior rider over the line, if you take out the under 23s. If you take out the vet 40s, you've then got George Thompson. Yeah. He was the third senior rider, still rides for his local club, Sleaford Wheelers. And we've spoken about him before, particularly when he had that cracking ride up in Irvine. And I was walking back up to the finish, as we see our checkered flag ahead of us today. I was walking back up to the finish, and I was walking past a couple of the marshals. Again, have been brilliant all weekend, so thanks to all the marshals. So I walked past a couple of the marshals, and one of them said to the other one, "He's amazing, isn't he?" And I wasn't quite sure which rider they're talking about. They said, "He's going to move up to the vet 50s next year." It's true. Two things there. One of them is, Craigie, amazing. But also, you think, which one are they talking about? It could be any one of those riders in that top 11 who were
it's
finishing
been like
today.
That all day, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You look at junior men's winner, our world champion, Ben Chula, absolutely demolishing the field. We said, it could be Lewis.
With confidence.
And he rode so smoothly. He is a Cyclo Park ambassador. He is one of the guys. And for me, it was him going up on stage, getting high-fived by the kids who were bringing the flowers on the stage, going back off, and then spending a load of time talking with the kids who he clearly sees week in, week out. For me, I think that's the moment of the weekend for all of the podiums, all the jerseys, the confetti cannons, you name them. No, it's the moment when he was high-fiving the kids on stage and went off and did that. And it's fair to say, Helen Wyman again, same. Yeah. There was immediately off the podium, straight in there, talking, chatting with the kids, and that for me is why Cross is great, and that's why it keeps on going. Bruce, best moment?
My moment, it's got to be the number of people here. I mean, to get this many people from when I started racing Cross, as I talked about on the Crosscast, and I've been doing this 15 years now since I was a little kid. And when I was a little kid, there was maybe 20 or 30 little kids riding around, and now there's swarming at them. And, to see that progression all the way through the categories, every race was so packed. I mean, I've got one the program here, and it's just full to see so many riders out on the course. It's just great to see where the sport's where it is and where it's going.
Alex, we skipped you on what was your moment of the weekend.
I think the crowds at the top of the steps and the steep bank and so on. I mean, my son was supposed to be shouting out gaps to Tom Pidcock so I could see whether I was going to be lapped or so on. I couldn't hear him at all. It was just this barrage of noise. And then the one moment where my wife shouted out, 30 seconds to Tom. So, well, how ambiguous can you be? Which Tom is that? Is that I'm 30 seconds behind some Tom in front, and is it that Tom or that Tom, or is Tom Pidcock 30 seconds
Tom
behind
me? We can call him
Jeremy. It was just the noise. I thought, and even somebody said this earlier, we got here just a bit after the junior women's, but for the junior men's, it was difficult to get to the front. And to have that sort of support, normally in Belgium, everybody starts rocking up partway through the women's race to watch the men's, whereas it's full on inclusive
on that,
here.
On that
it's
noise,
great.
That was a really good point. Actually, because I was standing at the finish line, obviously with a comm, just checking everybody through. Ian Poole was the chief comm. He had to resort to visual aids because the riders couldn't hear his calls for how many laps were left. They couldn't hear the bell for one lap to go. He just gave up and started putting signs in their faces, like 3, 2, 1. It was that loud.
And 80%.
That's what I was going to say. It's lovely, Alex, to really start finding the corporate. Neil, your best bit from the weekend.
I think that's a really tricky one. I think what I've really enjoyed this weekend, the best bit of the weekend for me was the junior girls race, I have to say. When, bring it back to your own family, your daughter rides a brilliant race. It's been there or thereabouts at the national champs before, and getting a fourth, which is the best result at national champs. And you juniors, she's coming for you. So I think right across, it's been fantastic. We're going to wrap up now. Thanks for watching over all of these shows. Thanks for the great feedback, as always.
We've really enjoyed them. It's been a lot of hard work. We've been planning this for a whole year, believe it or not. Thanks to you for giving us the facility here. Don't forget the Cyclocross Bible. The Cyclocross Bible. And obviously, you know, you've heard so much wisdom here from Alex. And
tip of the iceberg.
Tip of the iceberg. And here is a bit more of the iceberg. Just see the Cyclocross Bible. Google the Cyclocross Bible and you'll find it. We're going to finish now. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you on the other side of the tape.
Bye.